I'm Anna Maria Tremonti, and you're listening to The Current. Grassy Narrows. For 50 years, the Northwestern Ontario First Nation has been a poisoned place. Mercury released from a pulp and paper mill upstream in Dryden has coursed through the English Wabagon River system for half a century now. Waterways and fish that were the people's lifeblood are toxic. In June, Ontario's Minister of the Environment pledged $85 million for a cleanup, but not everyone's sure that a cleanup can end the suffering. Three generations have felt mercury's devastating impacts on the economy, and the environment, on their health, and on the community. The CBC's Jody Porter visited the community of about 1,000 people near Ontario's border with Manitoba. She was there to speak with the young people of Grassy Narrows. This is her documentary, Children of the Poisoned River.
Yo, Dr. Trey is in the house.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Youth and the children are being heard. We are leaders who can speak for the people, because the more the youth voices, the stronger we can be.
20-year-old Darwin Phobister and his friends are hanging out at the Trapper's Lodge overlooking the powwow grounds in Grassy Narrows. It's an Anishinaabe community of about 1,000 people in northwestern Ontario. The young people are making their second music video in as many years. The first, called Home to Me, was a viral success. Keep us safe, keep us free, like they used to. Making another one is giving Darwin a sense of future possibilities.
For my future, I want to become a music producer. I want the youth, a lot of youth around here, say, I want to sing. And I said, you know, wait till I'm done school. Wait till I'm done college. I'll make it happen. I'll make positive programs for you guys, I said. And that's what I want to see in the future. I want to see, you know, our youth depend on something. I want to see them become, you know, the goal they want to succeed.
Down the dusty dirt road, past the cookie-cutter government-built bungalows and the deceptively beautiful lakeshore, Darwin's grandfather, Steve Phobister, contemplates his grandson's future. He supports Darwin's musical dreams, but he worries.
I'm just wondering if he could ever be normal. The only thing, maybe, perhaps, you know, he might be able to succeed in a singing career. You know, that's what he seems to be banking on.
Steve is 65 years old, a former chief, a skilled hunter, a devoted lifelong advocate for his community, now confined to his daughter's tiny bungalow where he needs a walker to move from room to room.
He might just end up like me, you know, not being able to walk and not being able to provide myself, you know, the daily routine that normally requires, and it's a depressing feeling.
Steve is one of the people here who is most severely affected by mercury. His children and grandchildren, like Darwin, have been poisoned too.
My mom, when she was pregnant, she ate fish from the river system, and like they didn't know about the mercury poisoning, and then when she started noticing she had me, and she noticed I was acting different compared to a normal baby, then I started to have seizures and symptoms that are not normal to humans.
Mercury bioaccumulates. Once it enters the food chain, it never goes away. It passes from generation to generation, mother to child, through the placenta. Recent studies show 90% of the people at Grassy Narrows have some symptoms of mercury poisoning, from numbness in the fingers and toes to cognitive delays. Children and adults alike suffer to varying degrees.
Basically, nothing can help with mercury. Like, when you try to do simple things, if you're balancing, you feel like you're going to fall forward. And when you're in school, when you're trying to read a long paragraph, you struggle, like, you tend to forget, and you get headaches for no reason. Like, all these symptoms hit every time.
For Steve Phobister, it's the poisoning of the people, not the water, that needs attention. The mercury was dumped by a pulp mill upstream of Grassy Narrows and has made its way through the meandering English Wabagoon River system into all the lakes and streams where people here catch fish to eat. The commercial fishery was closed in the 1970s. Steve Fobister has been making the same arguments since then.
We have to build ourselves a future the way we see it.
Like in this CBC documentary from 1983, where he appears handsome and energetic as he stares into the camera.
Steve Fobister, third chief in less than a year, believes that redemption, if it comes, will be generated from within. There are but two things he wants from government: compensation for the ruined economy, and then to be left alone.
You know, you failed what you attempted to do. All right, we'll try it our way. This is what we're saying to the government. If the government says no, this like that, then I think, you know, I'd fight like hell, to demand that I have it my way. You know, even if I have to lay my life on the line, I would.
I take 2,400 milligrams a day.
Now, Fobister needs dozens of pills every day to manage his pain, his body made frail by mercury. He places a thumb to his chin to reduce the shaking in his jaw enough to form these words.
I feel that we have not been able to accommodate the people that are sick. I'm a sick man. I'm constantly in pain. 24 hours a day, and it's very hard, you know.
But it's the children he worries about the most.
I seen one kid that died in agony not so long ago, and they said that he had neurological problems, and he died in a very sad way, and, you know, he seemed to have forgotten that.
That young man was Calvin Kokopinas. He was 17. In 2014, kids in Grassy Narrows watched Calvin die too, and it scared them.
Knowing that he died, like, we could all be dying. We probably are already, and we don't know, like, what's going to happen because nobody's helping. My name is Shayna Loon. I'm 17, and I'm from Grassy Narrows First Nation.
Shayna Loon prefers to be called Shy, a more appropriate name for the soft-spoken teen. There's a quiet strength as she hugs a blanket around her shoulders and talks about the suffering of victims of mercury, like Calvin.
Knowing that he went through that, just, it makes everybody sad. And Azrea took it the worst.
Shy is Calvin's cousin. It's been a few years since he died of complications related to mercury poisoning. Now Calvin's younger sister, Azrea, is also dead. Shy is part of the chorus in the music project.
We're writing another song. This time it's originally made by all the youth from Grassy, and we're just writing about what we're going through.
Despite the overwhelming burden of disease in Grassy Narrows, there are few health services here, and fewer still mental health supports for youth. Azrea Kokopinas was just 14 years old when she went to Kenora, about 90 kilometers away, in search of help to deal with grief after her brother Calvin died. Ontario Provincial Police won't say why they picked her up on an April night in 2016. They dropped her off at the hospital in Kenora. Somehow, she managed to walk away. A search ensued. 2 days later, Azrea was found dead in a wooded area just across the road from the hospital. No one knows how she got there. No one knows exactly how she died. Her family has yet to see any autopsy results.
She meant a lot to me. She was like my closest friend, and ever since we lost her, I've always been thinking of making a song for her. Yeah, and explain, you know, like, how beautiful she was and how positive, you know, she was. And, like, we just want something to be done and move forward, that's all.
Down,
There have been other songs sung for Azrea, this one by Teddy Kopenas at a vigil on the anniversary of her death in April. It's tear-jerking music to honor missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. Azrea's death is tied up in so many things, so many real and perceived injustices, it's difficult for young people to see their way beyond it. Her friends organized a vigil to mark 1 year since Azrea's death and held a news conference to push for answers about how a child in search of help wound up dead.
This is Braden Kokopanis, Azrea's brother. He's going to read a brief prepared statement right into the mics, okay?
What I want to say is that I want justice for my sister, Azrea.
At 15, Braden is a few years younger than his brother Calvin was when he died, and a year older than his twin sister Azrea will ever be. You can almost see the losses piled up on his shoulders as he curls inward while he speaks.
Deep down, she was a nice, innocent, sweet girl. A sister that I loved, that I cared for.
What's the last year been like for you?
Rough. I haven't received any answers, and that's what devastates me the most, because I believe they're hiding something.
The Kokopanas family is a microcosm of the social devastation that followed the environmental disaster that flowed into Grassy Narrows with the mercury generations ago. Azrea is the fourth member of her family to die after having had contact with police. In the 1990s, police took a boat from two of her uncles, allegedly high from sniffing gas, and left them alone on an island near Kenora. They died while trying to swim to shore. A few years later, her grandmother died in a Kenora jail cell. Police may have overlooked a fatal injury when they picked her up for public intoxication.
There are still questions that deserve to be answered, even if it's not for the public, at least for the parents and Braden.
Later at the news conference, 15-year-old Kyra Sinclair makes an impassioned plea for police, hospital, and child welfare agencies to explain how they failed her friend.
We as a whole deserve to know the truth. It may not bring her back, but it's our only way to cope with everyday life without her. In the end, I hope Azrea is okay. I hope she's soaring high with her brother Calvin. All I know is a year feels like forever already. I love you, Azrea. I miss you so badly, but I pray that heaven is treating you good. Hashtag justice for Azrea. That's it.
The truth the young people are seeking is this simple and this complex. Everyday life is more difficult here in Grassy Narrows than nearly anywhere else in Canada. Both the water and the people carry the scars of industrial mercury poisoning. It's estimated it will take a decade to clean the river, longer to heal families hurt physically and emotionally. Shai Loon lives with her grandmother. Her four younger sisters have been taken away by child welfare workers.
People look at us as drunks and alcoholics or addicts or and that's not our fault because we've grown up in a really bad environment and because all we see is just bad stuff. That's all we believe is bad stuff here.
This generation of young people wants to turn the page on the bad stuff, but they're not sure how. After Azrea's death, looking outside the community for help with healing seems deadly. Loon has started looking within.
I knew that I needed help. I still do. And I feel like the ceremonies heal us and me.
She recently took part in traditional Anishinaabe healing ceremonies. They happened on the same weekend as the vigil that marked the anniversary of Azrea's death.
I felt happy being there, but at the same time, I was crying so bad because I just felt so overwhelmed and I just needed to let go of everything.
Judy Da Silva is one of the Grassy Narrows members that has been most outspoken about the mercury and its health impacts. The 55-year-old grandmother arranged for three traditional Anishinaabe medicine men to conduct the ceremonies. They took place at a site near the reserve where Da Silva and others from Grassy Narrows have been maintaining a logging blockade for more than a decade. There are fears that more clear-cut logging in the area will contribute to the mercury contamination of the land and the people here, while continuing to enrich faraway forest companies.
One of the main issues that we discovered in doing this blockade and doing the environmental protection is environmental racism, where a lot of First Nations live below mills, and that has to stop. These are the kind of things we have to tackle, is using our voices to bring those kind of issues out. And it has to stop, that we're not expendable, that we are important to the world community, and our children have to feel that.
Shai says she's grateful for Judy's efforts, but she wishes more adults would try to help teens who are struggling.
I feel like not many people care about the youth. Like the adults, like they just care about themselves and what they're trying to do to get their next high or whatever, and they don't care about if we're okay or if we're having fun or not. And it's usually us having to put ourselves out there and make things happen for ourselves.
In a place where non-interference in the lives of others is a cultural value, and in a community where children just a generation ago were torn from their parents to be indoctrinated as Christians at residential school, adults are unlikely to intervene unless asked. But Judy Da Silva says help is waiting.
Our kids in Grassy, is sometimes they get disconnected from the earth and the video games and all that. The TV, it might interfere with that connection, but it's right here. And it's up to them, you know, to reach out to people that know the land to say, hey, can I go with you hunting? Or if you're going fishing, can I go with you? So it's up to them, but we don't force it on them.
For now, the teens are finding comfort in being together, being creative, making music. It's something Darwin Phobister says can make a difference.
But like, all we want is change. All we want is, you know, things to be done. I wish the leadership would listen to the youth.
The laments of young people at Grassy Narrows are in some ways familiar to young people anywhere. And their solution, turning to music and social media, isn't unique either. But the challenges they meet each day are...
When you compare a healthy person to a person with mercury poisoning, it's not normal. Like you can't lift things simple, and you can't even, like, you know, like you're too shaky, you lose memory, like you lose sensation, you lose everything, like you lose... It affects a lot, and it's getting passed down generation after generation. And it's like impacting so much, it's killing a lot of people. That's basically what the song's about. We just want the water to be clean, and we still want the next generations to be affected.
On that note, all the young people agree. They want a safer, healthier community for the kids even younger than themselves. And in singing that song together, they're finding a dream of a common future.
Keep the worries that we've always had. It still lives inside. This is a place where we love the land. Let's work to show our pride.
Keep us safe. Keep us free, like it used to be. Don't wanna be tied down. We find love where we're from and beat against the
end up. We'll find the path home. Feel pulled by the sun, wish I can go. We learn from the past, now we can grow. We're promised a chance that the plants show. Go big, go far, there are no limits.
We've been listening to Children of the Poisoned River, a documentary produced by the CBC's Jodie Porter. The Current's documentary editor is Josh Block, and the song you just heard is called Home to Me, produced by youth from Grassy Narrows with the help of an organization called Nawi Jinan. The Office of Ontario's Chief Coroner says an internal panel is reviewing the question of whether to hold an inquest into the death of Azrea. To find out more about this story, we have a link to Jodie Porter's feature article on our website, cbc.ca/thecurrent.